You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
All right, we're going to get started. I'm going to tell you about conversation and how to make conversation work for you the way you want it to work. I'm going to tell you what I mean when I say conversation is either a tool or a weapon. First of all, what you say represents where you at mentally. Now that alone is important enough, but I see it really needs explaining. So, you know, I'm going to explain it as a tool, and afterwards I explain it as a weapon. I'm going to break it down line by line so you can find out how I think. And once you do see how I think, you can see if how I think is for you. What really is a turn on for me is to be out not looking for shit, and some broad recognize the caliber of motherfucker I am. Now, the other night, this broad slid up under me and offered to buy me a drink. Of course, I accepted, but I added, as long as there's no strings attached. She said, I could tell when I noticed you sit down from across the bar that you weren't like the regular dudes who come in here. I could see that, you know, she was on the prowl like a motherfucking dude. And if I wanted her, I could have told her right then to let's get out of here. But I didn't. I want to show you how conversation is used as a tool. I decided to let her bake in the oven she willingly entered. When the drinks came, she said, "Here's to the unknowing and whatever." And when she said whatever, she raised her eyebrows. She got ready to toast, but I moved my glass and said, "I can't drink to that." That type of toast is from a motherfucker who is wishing they could have what it looks like they seeing. I'd much rather toast to, "Here's to being able to recognize shit from sugar, and at the same time being a magnet for the recognized sugar." She saw that I had busted her. She was salivating, thinking of what the fuck she was about to get into. That motherfucker raised her glass up and said, "Here, here. You're married, aren't you?" I smiled at her and realized she saw she was not going to get what she wasn't going to get to go home with her brother. And I said, "Why, of course. What woman could speak with me for 2 minutes and not want to marry me?" All she could do was smile as she said, "That's fucked up." Now, here is that conversation broken down so you can see how a person like me thinks. You remember I started out, what really is a turn on for me is to be out not looking for shit and some broad recognize the caliber of motherfucker I am. Now, this should be understood, but if it isn't, it simply means I like to be seen for who I think I am. This broad slid up under me the other night and offered to buy me a drink. If you slow, you'll wonder what she's up to. But if you me, you already know. She's seen me come in and wants me. Of course, I accepted knowing she may not think anything that I'm thinking. But I added, as long as there's no strings attached. Now, right here, I'm letting her know I ain't no sucker and buy me a drink at your own risk. And if she does buy me one, I know she's mine. She said, I could tell when you came in that you ain't like the regular dudes that come in here. When I noticed you sit down. Here, she's confirming what I suspected. She likes me and she wants to see if I can catch her. I could see that she was on the prowl, and if I wanted her, I could have told her right then to let's get out of here. But I didn't. I let her bake in the oven she willingly entered. Now, at this point, I have surmised what time it was with her, and I reversed it on her by letting her stew in the heat she created by fucking with me. When the drinks came, she said, "Here's to the unknowing and whatever." And when she said this, it was to let me know that she was down for whatever I wanted to do. When she said whatever, she raised her eyebrow. Raising her eyebrow was to let me know she was a freak and was ready for me. So she got ready to toast, but I moved my glass. And I said, "I can't drink to that. That type of toast from a motherfucker who's wishing they could have what it looks like they seeing. I'd much rather toast to his to being able to recognize shit from sugar and at the same time of being a magnet for the recognized sugar." Now, this statement was the seal of fact to her that I knew she was attracted to me and that she wasn't the normal bitch niggas run into. She saw that I had busted her salivating, thinking, you know, what she was about to get into. She raised her glass up and said, "Here, here." Then she said, "You're married, aren't you?" You see, broads know when they've been checkmated. She knew what time it was with me, and that buying me a drink bullshit might work on a sucker, but not my ass. I smiled at her and realized that she saw she was not going to get to go home with me. And she said, and I said, why, of course. What woman could speak with me for 2 minutes and not want to marry me? Now here I confirmed to her that her attraction was genuine, but I'm a prized man and ain't gonna just fuck with any bitch I meet. All she could do was smile and say, that's fucked up. Checkmate. See, I really think dudes think they be playing on me using those instant messages because they always say, they want to ask a question, they gonna buy my goddamn shit when they get paid this weekend. And and when they get paid, I don't hear from them. But that's why I be so chicken shit. I don't care to hear from you motherfuckers talking about you gonna buy. If you gonna buy it, buy it. Out of 11 motherfuckers who hit me and wanted to ask questions because they was gonna buy my course, not one of them motherfuckers kept their word. And I ain't even mad at them. That's why I only answer one question and then cut you off. I know damn well any person who wants to enroll in SWU gonna do it. Then they gonna ask questions if necessary, but it ain't really necessary. My shit is damn near self-explanatory. Average is my enemy. And I must say my thoughts are my only worthy opponents. They're sneaky and can throw a slick left jab. I spar with average every week and have an all-out brawl with that motherfucker 4 or 5 times a year. Fact is, I beat average's ass at each time. I can win the battles I have against average because I used to be average. My name was John Average Dixon. Then I got laced with a little slickness at about 8 years old. I came out of that average shit by the time I was 12. And when I hit my teen years, I went buck wild searching for the truth. I found it in Fuller's Pool Hall, where I met some real pimps. 3 minutes listening to the shit they was talking, I stripped that fucking average jacket off and left it in Fuller's for that average motherfucker who could wear it. I have not thought about anything average since I was graduated from high school, where I was an average student. After using that initial abadabba that I got from them niggas in Fuller's, I called a bro and got to pimping, and damn, I was anything but average. So here I am today. I can't stand average worth a fuck and refuse to fuck with niggas who male or female wanna be average. That's why I run with one or two motherfuckers because the rest of motherfuckers are too close to being and remaining average for the rest of their fucking lives. Now that brings me to my nigga Tay. This nigga come up to Vegas, caught a fine ass bitch waiting on him, and he gets here and damn near nothing goes as planned. And I asked if he had a new boo, and the nigga say, nigga, today anybody can be your boo. Shit, I gotta see where that bitch is really coming from. But is she cool and a bitch I can see fucking with? Yeah, that shit was dope. Another point. If God does bless you young motherfuckers to get into your 60s and olders, just remember your pimp friend Rosebud told you this. Look back and try to remember when you was 14 or 15. And when you do, remember the people you was running with, male and female. Now, once you recall who they are, see if those aren't the most important people in the world to you. Even your enemies, the bully, the girl that got away, all of them motherfuckers was important to your very being. Those were the times you were becoming you. And each and every one of them motherfuckers, excuse me, each and every one of those motherfuckers had a little hand in forming who you ultimately became. I'm telling you, I love Elaine Claiborne, Sandra Glaston, Michelle Barksdale, Lila Thompson, and all of those girls who are now the women of my life. And not to forget Michael Virgil, Billy Randolph, John Bumpus, Stanley Jones, Rusty Nails, Lee Ferrara, some of the dudes that influenced my rowdy youth. I would not be John Dixon if it were not for my lifelong friends I mentioned and the many, many that I did not mention. So I say again that I'm a blessed man to have so many of my lifelong friends still walking the earth sane and in good health. We all know who to thank for our good fortune. So together we say thank you, Jesus, for letting us see these days and the ones we will see. I'm just saying, when I went to the Bay Area for a proper burial for my brother, and I saw many of my 60-year friends. That was saying something. Something we don't get to much these days. We're getting and giving something that lasts through all kinds of shit. We didn't get in any problems that couldn't be handled with conversation. We didn't get into any kind of gunplay because of a willingness to not let shit come between us. I salute my lifelong friends, and I give a grand salute to my lasting this long, 60 plus years, shit, to push for. I wonder if I have pushed you new guys and some of you older guys off by saying I don't think you should ask questions. Let me clarify where I was coming from. Some things cannot be addressed without asking questions. Now, where I'm coming from is if I must answer a direct question, maybe this person asking the question should not be trying to get involved with what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about could cost your goddamn life. A person who does not ask questions but seeks information into a realm of life, you know, they're more prepared mentally. They're way more prepared than the person who simply asks questions. I don't want to be responsible for any of you getting hurt or worse. I will start accepting any questions you have. I didn't intend to make it to where you motherfuckers would be afraid to ask questions on my show. I know I did that, and I'm actually apologizing to you now. Starting right now, I won't be negative to you asking questions. I hope you understand. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I don't want to be responsible for your ass getting fucked up in some kind of way. I changed that thought to I ain't responsible for your ass getting fucked up in any way. I told you in the post earlier this month, the way you see the question determines the answer. Not wanting to be and ain't responsible are two totally different things. When you're fortunate enough to have real OGs to call when you have a problem, you get to feel your position in life that you had. I know many so-called motherfucking PIs who are living in the gutter these days. They're there because they made use of false pretenses to get with the in crowd. When you live in a fake world, all the goddamn results you get from that goddamn world is fake. Those dudes who are in the gutter now thought that fake shit they was doing with Karim as well as the real shit I was doing carried me. Sadly, just as a lot of you will learn, it doesn't. It can't. it won't carry you. The only thing that will carry you into your later years with stellar marks of professionalism is true motherfucking abadabba. I'm talking about the kind of abadabba that Fillmore Slim, Shante Parker, Hollywood Heights, Gorgeous Dre, the original white folks, Rosebud, and other OGPs who were down and dirty over 40 years. We got our respect the old way. We took it. We took our respect every time we hit the road and ended up in a city where we were strangers. We were strangers to the city, but not to the life within it. We understood what we had to do. We had to go into the belly of the beast if we wanted to eat. We didn't have any hookups in that city. Whatever hookup we got, we took. After taking a few props, the real niggas of the city showed up and wanted to kick it. But as ordered by this goddamn game, they didn't want to kick it with wannabes. They want to kick it with real motherfuckers who know how to come into a city and claim it. Game will make you claim things that are not yours, but you are not, but they're there for the taking and you aren't stealing. We are taking what we want from any city we go to because we are real pimps and not afraid to take what we fucking want. The day I turned out, I went to a brother who had hoes and asked him was Shattuck a cool track. He gave me an answer, and I had another question. When I asked it, he went off with me and told me I was scary. I shot back at him that I ain't scary, but he then said, nigga, you must have some game because you got the broad out here. This is the only piece of game I'm going to give you. Put the hoe down, and whatever you don't know, the questions that she has when she come in and your answers will tell you all you need to know. Now, that was all the game a motherfucker gave me. And it took 6 months in the game, which is all I had, when I went to Hollywood. It took me that long to see the sense in what he was saying. That's why I revisit everything I do. Because reading my book this morning showed me so much that I have stopped doing. I never accepted that I was a pimp until my hoe had to jump out of a Trix car and got fucked up within 2 days of being in Hollywood. I had to come up with so much shit to say to my motherfucking hoe about this shit we was doing. I had to come up with it on the spot. Without having any knowledge of any of it before this shit happened. And I'm telling you, she came to the door in a sheet. And if Marvin wouldn't have prepared me with that iota again, I might not be here. So I say thank you, Marvin Harris, for punching me in the chest when I needed it most. Marvin tried to hit me to it way back in Oakland. So I'm going to hip you to it now with a quote from my book, Rosebud the American Pimp. When you're young and a turnout pimp, all sorts of things are going to happen to mold you into who you'll become. It's one thing for sure, and that's you're going to change. Change into what is another question. There was two things I realized early on in my pimping. One, I wanted to handle any situation that came up like a giant motherfucker would, even if it cost me a hoe. Two, I never wanted to handle a problem by putting fear in my hoe about something that's inevitable. Here's another situation that called for me to come up with this motherfucking solution at the drop of a dime. Of course, the hoe automatically expected from me now. And so do I. That's why I stay so, so down. Hey, let me tell y'all something. I'm getting older. I don't go out as much. And I used to look at my notes and not even need to read them. I would just look at them and I could observe them. And I would know where I was at. I got to read that shit now. I really do have to read it. And I don't like it because it's just another thing that I can't do no more. I can't be fly like that no more. It's fucked up to realize shit you can't do. But then you counter that with all the shit you still can do. Because I got hella shit I still can do. And what I want to say to all of you motherfuckers, stay down till you come up. Because if you stay down, you will come up. I'm out.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.